White searchlights ply over a stone monument chiseled with the words 20th Century Fox. 20th Century Fox presents a CinemaScope picture. The Three Faces of Eve. A picture of a woman's face. She's beautiful with fine, pure skin, but her expression is troubled. Starring Joanne Woodward, David Wayne, Lee J. Cobb. Another picture shows the woman smiling radiantly, a blonde kiss curl over her forehead. With Edwin Jerome, Alina Murray, Nancy Culp, Douglas Spencer, Terri-Ann Ross, Ken Scott, Mimi Gibson. Screenplay by Nunnally Johnson, from the book by Corbett H. Thigpen, M.D. and Harvey M. Cleckley, M.D. Music by Robert Emmett Dolan. Another image of the woman appears, but as a ghostly negative. Her hair is pulled back from her forehead and neatly tied up. Sound, W.D. Flick, Frank Moran. Vocal supervision, Ken Darby. Orchestration, Edward B. Powell. Produced and directed by Nunnally Johnson. Introducing Alistair Cook, distinguished journalist and commentator. Alistair Cook, wearing a suit, stands in an empty cinema with the screen behind him.
This is a true story. How often have you seen that statement at the beginning of a picture? It sometimes means that there was a man named Napoleon, but that any similarity between what he did in life and what he's going to do in this movie is strictly miraculous. Well, this is a true story about a sweet, rather baffled young housewife who in 1951, in her hometown in Georgia, suddenly frightened her husband by behaving very unlike herself. Well, there's nothing unique in that. We all have moods. We all have a secret yen to behave like somebody we particularly admire. In fact, a modern writer has said that inside every fat man, a thin man is struggling to get out. Well, in a literal and terrifying sense, inside this demure young woman, two very vivid and different personalities were battling for the mastery of her character. She was, in fact, a case of what is called multiple personality, something that all psychiatrists have read about and very few have ever seen. Certainly not Dr. Thigpen and Dr. Cleckley of the Medical College of Georgia, who one day were confronted with a woman who had one personality more than Dr. Jekyll. Now, their account of the case was delivered to the American Psychiatric Association in 1953, and it's already a classic of psychiatric literature. So this movie needed no help from the imagination of a fiction writer. The truth itself was fabulous enough, and all the episodes you're going to see happened to this girl whom they call Eve White. And much of the dialogue is taken from the clinical record of the doctor that we call Dr. Luther.
A pickup truck drives along a busy city street and turns a corner.
The date is August the 20th, 1951.
The pickup truck stops outside a grand stone-fronted building with an arched entrance. Eve White, a slight pretty young woman, and her older husband Ralph get out of the pickup and walk through the entrance. Inside, they head along wood-paneled corridors and up to a door with Curtis Luther, M.D. written on it. Ralph shares an anxious look with Eve, whose face is set in a frown. She nods, and he knocks on the door.
Come in.
They go in. The secretary sitting behind the desk smiles.
Mrs. White?
Yes, ma'am.
Dr. Luther?
Yes.
Mrs. White is here. The late Dr. Watkins wrote you back?
Ask her to come in, will you?
Yes, doctor. Will you come in, please?
Dr. Luther is a heavy-set, middle-aged man with a craggy face and neat graying hair.
How do you do, Mrs. White?
How do you do?
Come in. Sit here, will you?
Thank you.
Mr. White? Let's see.
Ralph helps Luther with a chair.
Thank you.
They all sit.
Dr. Watkins is a very old friend of mine. How long have you known him?
He's the doctor we go to.
He's a very able man. Very able.
He picks up a note.
At sea, he says you've been troubled with very bad headaches.
Yes, sir. Terrible ones.
And some sort of spells?
Yes, sir.
What kind of spell?
Well, I don't know. I'm not exactly sure.
Well, what happens when you have one?
Is it what they say, amnesia?
Well, amnesia means loss of memory. Is that what happens to you?
Yes, I guess that's it.
How often does this happen?
Sometimes twice a week now.
And the headaches, what about them?
Same thing.
They happen at the same time?
Yes, sir. First I get this terrible headache and then I get this spell.
Now, when you say spell, you mean you faint or anything like that?
No, sir, it's not like fainting. It's more like,
She glances at Ralph.
Well, it's like the other day I was playing out in the backyard with Bonnie. And all of a sudden I got this splitting headache and then the next thing I knew, I mean, the next thing I was conscious of, it was the next morning.
Who's Bonnie?
Oh, that's my little girl.
How old is she?
She's 4 and a half.
Your only child?
Yes, sir. I lost another baby about 4 months ago.
I see. And you have no recollection at all of what happened, where you were, what you did, between the time you were playing in the backyard with Bonnie and the next morning?
No, sir, I don't.
Were you at home at the time?
I was there as soon as I come home from work.
Yes?
I didn't see much different dinner.
Well, did you see any difference?
Oh, I guess not. Nothing you could say was really different.
Ralph drives his pickup truck home.
For several weeks, Mrs. White was greatly helped by the psychiatric treatment. She had fewer headaches and they were less severe. She had no more blackout spells, at least none that she was aware of. But not quite a year later, several things happened that showed her to be in urgent need of help. The first alarm was sounded around noontime of a spring day in 1952.
Ralph walks into his white clapboard house.
Anybody home?
Oh, hey, just a minute while I hang out the watch.
In the hall, Ralph looks at a child's drawing on a blackboard while he puts his jacket and trilby on a chair. He picks up a letter from a mantelpiece.
Where's Bonnie?
Here I am.
Hi, sugar.
Tell your
britches, she finds you.
This one hurts.
Ralph picks up one of the glitzy silver high heels.
Where'd you get these?
They're mommy's.
Forget them.
The postman brought them today with the dresses.
What dresses?
On the bed.
Evie?
Ralph takes the shoes and goes into the bedroom. He stares at piles of fancy clothes still in their boxes on the bed. He picks up another pair of high heels, then holds up a sparkling, strappy dress. Eve comes in, wringing her hands together. Ralph turns to her. She smiles slightly.
What's the idea of all this?
Didn't you buy it?
What do you mean, didn't I buy them? Didn't you?
No, I thought you did. I thought it was sweet, but I...
He picks up a receipt.
It's got your name on it.
You know, I wouldn't buy anything like that, right?
$218.
That's what I mean. It cost that much.
Well, where'd they get your name?
Well, I don't know. I thought you did it. I mean, I thought you bought them for me. But I was going to make you take them back because I knew it was too much.
I'll say it's too much. You had me scared there for a minute.
I guess they just must have made some kind of mistake, that's all.
Well, I'll call her.
Ralph looks at the receipt again and goes to the phone in the hall. With her hands in the pockets of her slacks, Eve goes over to the bed and stares at the piles of clothes. She picks up the glitzy high heels and shakes them.
Is this a beehive store? Is this Miss Effie?
Who is this?
This is Ralph White, Miss Effie.
Well, for goodness sakes, Ralph, I thought you and Evie'd be on your way to Hollywood by now.
Hollywood?
With all those pretty things Evie bought. You ought to be mighty proud of her, the way she looks in those dresses, especially that lilac one. I said to Mr. Kilgore...
I'm bringing them all back, Miss Effie, this afternoon.
Frowning, Ralph goes through to the kitchen where the table's laid for supper.
Barney?
Eve's by the open back door.
Come on in, honey, and wash your hands.
Not yet. Tell her not to come in yet.
What's the matter?
Tell her I'll call her.
Well, never mind, honey. I'll call you when we're ready.
Shut that door.
Eve looks fearfully at Ralph.
Hurry up.
She slowly shuts the door.
Come here. Will you come here?
Nervously touching her collar, Eve steps over to Ralph. Ralph glares at her.
I got a good mind to slap your face.
What'd they say?
What kind of dope you think I am, anyway?
Oh, what you talking about?
Will you stop that lying? What'd you think I was going to do? Nothing? Let you get away with it? $218?
Well, if I didn't buy them.
You mean Miss Effie Blandford's a liar?
She said I bought.
She didn't say nothing else.
Well, see how she could, because I didn't.
You mean to tell me you didn't go into the beehive and try on those dresses for Miss Effie and Mr. Kilgore?
I haven't been in the beehive in months.
Sometimes I don't know whether you're crazy or you think I am.
Ralph, they go take them back.
You take them back.
I'll pack them up, Chloe.
No, I'll do it.
You better let me.
You heard me. I said I'd do it.
They face each other in the hallway. Then Ralph goes into the bedroom. Eve stands frozen to the spot. Her head drops forward, and she covers her face with her hands. Unsteady on her feet, she turns and stands facing the wall, with her fingers pressed against her temples. In the bedroom, Ralph, in a smart white shirt and with his neat dark brown hair in a side parting, angrily bundles the dresses into their boxes.
I'm hungry, Mommy.
Evie!
Ralph runs to the couch where Eve's crouched over Bonnie. He throws Eve to the floor and unwinds the Venetian blind cords from around Bonnie's throat. He hugs her tightly. Lying on the floor, wide-eyed and tearful, Eve stares at Ralph and Bonnie.
All right, honey.
Ralph stands and glowers at Eve.
Don't get up.
Eve pushes herself up slightly.
I'll kill you, you get up.
Eve turns away and slowly sinks back down to the floor. In Luther's consulting room, Eve sits in a demure white-collared dress and neat hat. She shakes her head. Ralph stands by the desk.
I didn't do it.
But I saw her.
I didn't do it, I tell you.
How can she say a thing like that when I saw her with my own eyes? If I hadn't been there, I don't know what she'd have done.
You mean you don't do it?
I didn't do it.
I suppose you didn't buy those clothes either.
I died before I'd hurt Bonnie.
Well, why do you suppose Ralph says things like that if they're not true?
I love her too much.
Oh, how about till you loved her so much you wouldn't come home from Atlanta last month? You know what she did? She went up to Atlanta to visit her cousin for 5 days and then wouldn't come home. She's having too big a time. And then when I went up to get her, she cussed me out and said she never would come home. How about how much you loved her then, huh?
Will you let me talk to her alone for a few minutes?
Yeah, she wouldn't come home to me or to Bonnie.
We'll just be a few minutes.
Wearing a pale suit, Luther stands by his desk smoking a cigar. Eve sits stooped forward.
You didn't answer my question, Mrs. White.
That's not true, what he said.
What's not true?
I haven't been to Atlanta nearly a year.
Well, that's what I mean. Why do you think he says things like that if they're not true?
I don't know.
But he'd have to have some reason to do it, don't you think?
Yes, I suppose so.
Have you thought what that reason might be?
I thought of one.
What was that?
Maybe he wants to get Bonnie away from me.
You mean by divorce?
No, sir, maybe not that. But maybe he can make me believe I'm losing my mind.
Is that what you think he's trying to do?
Well, I don't know what else it could be the way he tells it. Am I?
I find no evidence of it.
Yeah, but you're not positive.
Well, I couldn't be positive of anything this quickly. But the fact you may be having spells of amnesia doesn't mean that you're what you call losing your mind. Doesn't mean that at all.
It's no use. Because I am. You don't want to tell me, but I know it now.
How do you know, Mrs. White?
Because now I'm hearing voices, too.
Eve looks at Luther pitifully. His brow is deeply furrowed. He sits facing her.
What kind of voices?
Just one voice. But that's what that means, doesn't it?
How long has this been going on?
For months.
Why didn't you tell me this before? What does this voice say to you?
She tells me to do things.
A woman's voice. Can you recognize it in any way?
No, sir. It sounds familiar sometimes, but I don't really recognize it.
What does this voice tell you to do?
To do things like leave Ralph, take Bonnie and run away. All kind of terrible things like that. That is what it means, isn't it?
No, not in your case.
But that's what everybody says.
And in most cases, they'd be right. It's a serious manifestation, the hearing of voices. But the difference in your case is this. You've been frightened by this voice because you recognize it as a symptom of illness. People who are actually losing their minds rarely find anything extraordinary about the hearing of voices. They almost invariably assume it's some sort of extra privilege that they enjoy, like personal radio reception or built-in radar.
Yeah, but what if sometimes it sounds like my own voice?
Your own voice? Wouldn't make any difference.
Yes, it does. You just don't want to tell me, but it does.
Eve clenches her eyes shut and slumps down in her seat. Eve clamps her hands around her face and starts to shake. Luther watches, concerned.
Mrs. White?
Eve raises her head and peeks between her fingers with bright, wide eyes. She lowers her hands.
Hi.
She grins girlishly.
Feeling better now?
I feel fine.
She takes a deep breath and presses her lips together. Luther observes, brow pinched.
What was it, a headache?
No, I didn't have no headache. She had one, but I didn't.
She?
Hey, you got a nice place around here. Oh, she always gets those headaches when I want to come out. And she's a real dope, don't you?
She scratches her leg.
Who are you talking about?
Eve White. These hoes. They're nylon. I'm allergic to nylon. I think I'll take them off. You don't mind, do you?
If you like.
I think you better turn around, though. You're kind of cute, but I don't think I know you that well.
With a hangdog look, Luther hesitantly turns around in his chair so his back's to her.
Maybe sometime, though, huh? Hey, you like to go dancing?
Sometimes.
Would you like to go dancing with me? Okay, you can turn around now.
Eve puts her stockings in her handbag.
So you're not Eve White?
I certainly am not. Hey, maybe one night this week. You can tell your wife you got to see a patient.
And do what?
Go dancing. I bet you're a real cute dancer.
She lets her hair down.
I doubt if my wife would agree with you about that, but getting back to the point here, if you're not Eve White, who are you?
Now, what you trying to do, kid me?
Seems more likely you're trying to kid me.
I'm Eve Black. You know that.
You mean that was your maiden name?
That's still my name. I ain't never been married. That's for life's getting married.
Well, what about Ralph?
Oh, come on now, Doc. You don't think I'm married a jerk like that.
And Bonnie isn't your child?
Not while I'm in my right mind, she isn't.
She saunters over to a bookcase.
Boy, what fat books.
Puzzled, Luther watches Eve wander around the room.
Hey, this radio working?
Kneeling over the back of a couch, Eve jiggles around to the music. Luther shifts uneasily in his seat.
You got a back door to your office. We could get out of here without him seeing us.
Will you excuse me for a moment?
You're not going to tell him, are you?
No, I'll be right back. You wait here, huh? It's up too high.
Luther turns down the radio and walks towards the door. Eve's leaning on the back of a chair, shuffling her feet and waving her arms around. She dances towards Luther with her arms outstretched.
Excuse me, I'll be right back.
He goes out to the hall.
Is that her?
Luther ignores Ralph and goes to see the older, white-haired doctor, Francis Day.
Have you ever had a case of multiple personality?
No.
Do you think you'd recognize one if you saw one?
I don't know. I'm not so sure. But I can tell you this. I'll bet you I can spot a fake as far as I can see one. Whom do you suspect?
Mrs. White. Mrs. Eve White.
That dreary little woman from across the river?
That's the one.
They share a look and go through to Luther's consulting room. Sitting in the hall, Ralph watches them hurry past.
Everything all right?
Eve's smoking a cigarette.
Oh, hi. Got your buddy with you, huh?
May I turn this off?
Well, sure. What'd I do, scare you?
You remember Dr. Day?
Sure. Hi.
How are you, Mrs. White?
Well, that's what you think.
Oh, this is Miss Eve Black, doctor.
How do you do, Miss Black?
How do you do?
You don't mind talking to both of us, do you?
Oh, no. The more they are, the better I like them.
And you say you are not Mrs. White now?
Okay, you want to hear it again? I'm not Mrs. White. My name is Eve Black.
Then how does it happen that you remember meeting me?
Because I know everything that happens to her. She don't know anything about me, but I know everything about her. Everything I want to, anyway. Because there's some things about her I'm not interested in, like that jughead out there.
Mr. White, she means.
And the thing is, she don't really even care anything about him. She just tells herself she does because she thinks she ought to. And don't think I never told her so, too.
What did you tell her?
Leave the so-and-so. Take the kid if she wants her and beat it. What can he do about it?
How did you tell her?
I yelled at her. I don't know whether she heard me or not, but I really hollered at her. Boy, I can tell you, though, I'm gonna fix his wagon. I ain't gonna go through the rest of my life with that creep.
And you say that Bonnie's not your child?
Oh, now, doctor, how could I have a child if I'm not even married? You trying to insinuate something?
She struts around.
You mean Ralph never made love to you?
Boy, I'd like to see him try.
Where were you then when Bonnie was born?
Well, looks like to me that's your problem, doctor, not mine. Don't you have any fans in this office? It's hot in here.
How are you going to fix Ralph's wagon?
You really want to know?
I do indeed.
I'm going to come out and I'm going to stay out.
She puffs on her cigarette.
Were you ever on the stage, Miss Black?
No, not exactly on the stage. But I sung in nightclubs, a lot of them.
Where?
Well, across the river's one. Big Apple, you ever been there?
No, I'm afraid I haven't.
They're crazy about me at the Big Apple. Every time I go in there, they ask me to stand up and sing. Because I have to be in the mood to do it, though.
What kind of mood?
Well, I have to have a couple of snorts first.
Can you come out, as you call it, whenever you want to?
No. I wish I could, but I can't. Sometimes I can, sometimes I can't. But I tell you one thing, though, it's getting easier. Because she's getting weaker, and I'm getting stronger. And one of these days, just like I tell you, I'm going to come out and stay out. Just you wait and see.
And can you retire, go back in when you want to?
Sure. You know what I done one night? One night, Ralph had to go to Savannah. So I went over to Big Apple, and I got kind of geist up. You know what I done the next morning? I let her have the hangover.
She's faking.
Oh, you should have seen her face.
Listen, Mrs. White, I regret to have to say this, but I...
As she laughs, Eve drops her head down. She slowly looks up, frowning, confused. The doctors stare at her.
Hello, doctor.
Mrs. White?
She looks puzzled at the cigarette in her hand. A grand institutional building. In a common room, Eve sits with the doctor reading.
On May the 17th, 1952, Mrs. White was admitted to the psychiatric section of the University Hospital for observation and treatment. During the first week, her behavior was excellent and there was nothing uneven about it. But Dr. Luther still could not decide when or even if to confront her with the knowledge of the personality that she had suppressed.
Love took up the glass of time and turned it in his glowing hands. Every moment, lightly shaken, ran itself in golden sands. Love took up the harp of life and smote on all the chords with might. smote the chord of self that trembling passed in music out of sight.
That's beautiful. I've never heard it before.
Well, I don't really understand what it means. I just like to read it anyway.
It doesn't have to mean anything in particular, just so you feel.
Morning.
Dr. Luther comes in.
Would you like to read this one?
She hands the doctor the book.
Dear beauteous death.
He looks gravely at her.
Good morning, doctor.
Morning.
Good morning, doctor.
How's it going?
Oh, I feel much better, thank you.
She looks better, too, don't you think?
Yeah, she really does.
See you later, Mrs. White.
Thank you.
I'll be in the office, doctor.
Thanks, Lenny.
Luther sits with Eve.
Heard from Ralph?
Yes, sir. He came by for a few minutes yesterday.
What about Bunny?
Oh, she's back with my mother and father now.
Luther leans towards Eve.
Tell me something, Mrs. White. Would you say that your marriage, speaking of it as a whole, has been a happy one?
Eve frowns heavily.
No, sir. Well, some of it, but not as a whole.
Don't you love Ralph?
Yes, sir.
Why do you think it hasn't been a happy marriage?
I don't know. I guess I just haven't been able to make him happy. I don't know what it is I do that irritates him so much, but I do.
Well, tell me something else. Have you ever had the feeling that somewhere deep down inside you, there might be somebody you couldn't quite reach, but that you nevertheless knew was there?
Heavy-browed, Eve shakes her head.
No, sir. I don't know what you're talking about.
Luther stares at the floor. Evening. Lenny, the young doctor, switches off the light in the empty common room. As he walks out and shuts the door, a nurse walks past.
Night, doctor.
Night,
Lenny locks the door and starts to walk away.
Hey.
Eve standing in a doorway, wearing patterned shorts and top and a gown.
Come here a minute.
Lenny stares at Eve as she leans in a doorway, smiling enticingly.
Come on. I ain't gonna bite you.
Lenny wanders over, frowning. Eve's hair is put up in curls.
Got a cigarette?
Sure.
He takes a packet from a pocket, and Eve pulls out a cigarette. Lenny fumbles for a lighter and lights it. Eve has a drag and gazes up at him.
Thank you.
All right.
Why don't you come in for a minute?
Well, no, you know the rules.
Oh, come on.
She leans to him.
I got a poem for you. No.
Lenny looks up and down the hall.
I can't stay long, will
I? He goes in.
It's a limerick.
She shuts the door. A moment later, Lenny emerges, nervously smoothing back his hair. Eve leans out, grinning.
Chicken!
Flustered, Lenny goes to an office where a nurse is sitting, picks up a telephone and dials. He keeps glancing over his shoulder.
Dr. Luther?
Yes?
About Mrs. White?
Yes?
That lady's a whole lot healthier than you think she is, doctor.
Eve lies on her bed, smoking. Dr. Luther stands at the end of the bed.
Can you control your emergence?
She looks up at him, clueless.
Says which?
I want you not to come out, even if you can.
Tired of this place. It's a nut house, ain't it?
No, it's a hospital. You don't see any bars or anything like that, do you?
Is she crazy?
No, but it's quite possible you can drive her crazy if you don't behave yourself.
Why? I don't know what I have to do with it. I haven't got anything to do with her.
She lifts her leg and caresses it.
You're wasting your time with that. I'm a doctor.
You cute, you know that.
Listen, Eve.
Hey. Look, why don't you and I go out and have some fun? I can slip on something.
Do you want to be shut up in one of these places for life? One with bars?
What do you mean?
I mean simply this. If you try anything like that, if you get into any trouble at all, it'll be Mrs. White that'll be adjudged crazy. But it'll be both of you that'll be locked up.
Why, if I'm all right?
You're not going to be subdivided by any court or board I've heard of yet. Where Mrs. White goes, you go. And that means into an asylum if you misbehave and Mrs. White has to be committed. An asylum with locked doors and bars and straitjackets. Now, is that clear?
I guess so.
Well, it had better be. Because that'll be the end of it for you, too. No more dancing, no more snorts. No more anything. Ever.
Eve lounges petulantly on the bed.
Even if I don't come out, what do you figure to do about it?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Nobody knows too much about this, because there haven't been too many such cases. But for a starter, I think I'd like to tell Eve White about you.
What do you want to do that for?
You object?
Well, won't that worry you even more?
I thought you didn't care what happened to her.
Well, I don't really. But I mean, you know, if she worries any more, ain't she liable to go crazy anyway?
I'm afraid that is a possibility, but that's a chance I think we're going to have to take. If we're ever going to reunite these two personalities, to put it simply, I'd say the first logical step to take in that direction would be to introduce them to each other, wouldn't you?
Introduce them? Doc, you flip me. You really do. Hey, look. I don't have to put on much. Come on, let's go on out and have a little fun, huh?
This is White.
Dr. Luther turns his back briefly, hands in pockets. Eve's head hangs.
I don't understand.
He turns back as Eve White re-emerges. Hastily, she covers her naked legs with a quilt.
I had another one, hadn't I?
A little one.
She breaks eye contact and looks down.
I was hoping...
Despondently, she lies down on the bed, curling her legs up, her head resting on her arm.
I think I'd better tell you as well as I can just what the situation is. Have you ever heard of multiple personality?
Ralph sits on a chair in Luther's waiting room, holding his hat.
Now all Dr. Luther had to do was to explain this situation to Ralph.
How are you, Ralph?
Good morning, sir. How's Evie?
Much better now.
Have you found out yet what's the matter with her?
That's what I wanted to talk to you about. Sit down, will you?
Ralph sits down again. The doctor takes a nearby seat and faces him, puffing on a cigar.
It's a very unusual case. One of the rarest, in fact, in the history of psychiatry.
You don't say.
Mrs. White's problem is what is called multiple personality.
Yes.
Have you ever heard of that?
No, sir, I can't say as I ever have.
Well, what actually happens is that at some point in the past, apparently when she was a little girl, her personality became divided into two different personalities. In effect, she's now two different women, entirely different in character. To be more specific about her, the girl you married, Bonnie's mother, sweet, quiet girl you fell in love with, that's one of the women. The other is the one that scared Bonnie. The one who bought all those clothes. The one that had that row with you in Atlanta. You know those headaches and blackout spells?
Yes, sir.
Well, that was when this other woman, the one who calls herself Eve Black, was trying to get out.
Out of where?
Out of the body. Your wife's body.
Well, how do you like that?
But what I want you to understand is that this is an actual mental condition with Mrs. White. It isn't pretending or faking. She can't help it. But that doesn't mean she's psychotic. Crazy. Do you understand?
No, sir.
Luther sits back reflectively and puffs some more.
Well, let's see if I can put it to you in another way. In the first place, no one has actually ever defined the personality as a psychopathological. I think you better come with me.
Yes, sir.
In her room, Eve White sits solemnly, a book in her lap. She closes the neckline of her robe.
Come in.
We've got company this morning.
Hello, honey.
Hi.
How's Bonnie?
She's all right.
I asked Ralph to come in so that I could explain the situation to him, so he'll understand when you leave here. You know who he is, don't you?
You mean Ralph?
Who is he?
Well, he's my husband, of course.
And you're the mother of his child, aren't you?
Of course.
You're Mrs. White, that's your name?
Yes, sir.
All right, now, may I speak with Eve Black?
Of course.
Eve Black?
Eve White clutches modestly at her neckline and her head bows. Under Ralph's gaze, she raises her head with some spirit and addresses the doctor.
Oh, spit!
You know who this is?
Well, I sure do.
Now, just a minute there.
Your husband?
If I have told you once, I have told you 10,000 times I ain't got no husband. And I can tell you, if I was gonna have one, wouldn't be no lead bottom like Ralph White there. What'd you tell him for anyway?
Bonnie isn't your child.
She's her child, and you know it.
I got a good mind to slap your face.
Boy, I'd like to see you try.
You ain't pulling me, you know.
Now, don't get angry. Just talk to her and watch her. And don't use your temper. Use your sense about it. May I speak to Mrs. White?
You sure can, and don't ever bring me back while that peepick is here.
Mrs. White?
Now on her bed, Eve Black lowers her head, and Eve White appears looking modest and puzzled with her jaw slack.
Did I go out again?
Just for a few minutes.
Evie?
Eve Black?
A glazed look comes over Eve. Then she looks at Ralph again and speaks to Luther.
I told you I wasn't going to talk to him again.
Mrs. White?
Ralph stares at her intently.
After she'd been in the hospital for 2 weeks, Dr. Luther and Dr. Day were satisfied that whether she behaved as Eve White or Eve Black, she would do no harm to herself or to others. So, on the 30th of May, 1952, they discharged her. During those 2 weeks, Ralph had left their daughter Bonnie with the grandparents and found for himself a better job in Jacksonville, Florida. But Mrs. White was not to go with him, for on the advice of Dr. Luther, she decided to stay in town in a furnished room for further and more regular treatment. This decision caused a separation that was to have unexpected consequences.
Might as well get started, I guess.
Ralph, I'm awful sorry.
Oh, that's right. You couldn't help it.
Breaking up everything like this?
Well, he can get you well, can't he?
I hope so.
Didn't he say?
No.
Didn't he say anything?
Said he'd do the best he could. That's about the only thing he could do. Maybe.
Well, I think he will, honey. They don't like to promise too much, you know.
You really think so?
Oh, sure. You know how some of them are. They like to make a big thing out of it so as they look better when they knock it off.
Only trouble, though, I sure am going to miss Bonnie.
Well, she's okay. Your folks will take care of her, all right. You don't have to worry about her.
Yeah, but if I don't get well, I might never see her again.
Oh, stop that, will you? Of course you're going to see her again, because you are going to get well. I mean, you ain't really crazy, you know. He told me that himself. I mean, I asked him confidentially, and he said no. He said there wasn't a thing in the world the matter with you except this multiplied personality, and that ain't anywhere near crazy. Now, he told me that himself. You going to stop worrying now?
I'll try.
You do that, and you'll be all right.
Ralph pats her hand.
Goodbye, honey. I'll send you some more money on Saturday.
Oh, you don't have to do that. I'm going to get a job.
Well, that'd help, but I'll still send you some money. You take care of yourself, you hear?
He kisses her cheek gently and lets himself out. Sitting on her single bed, Eve takes off her hat and looks around the simple, modestly furnished room. Eve Black comes downstairs in a beaded black evening frock, her hair up. She smooths her gloves. The frock is split up one side. She walks through the front door jauntily. One of the other lodgers looks as he passes. Eve dances with a soldier.
I feel like singing.
Oh, what's stopping you?
All right.
To the pianist.
Hey, you know, hold me.
You got it, pretty woman.
Okay, fellas, hold me.
Stand back, big daddy.
1, 2.
Eve moves with the music.
Hold me. Honey, won't you hold me? Hold me. Don't let me go. Take me. Honey, won't you take me? Don't forsake me. I love you so.
She kicks off her shoes.
Oh, thrill me. Let your kisses thrill me. Just like you and you alone can do. Hold me, honey, and for me. Never hold me from you.
She hugs the soldier.
Oh, wait a minute.
They go to the bar.
Come on, let's get out of here.
I'm thirsty, I want a drink.
Come on, I'll get us a bottle on the way.
Where? Hey, how about a snort, tall, dark, and ugly?
Come on, I'll find a place.
What are you talking about? This place is fine. I like it.
Look, I gotta be back to the post by 1. Let's go.
Look, are you crazy or something? I'm not going any place with you. No, I don't know what you're talking about. I told you.
Don't give me any of that stuff, baby. I didn't buy you all these drinks for nothing.
All right, then. I'll go with you some other time, okay?
Oh, no, you won't. You're going with me now. If you want some of this.
Stop it, lad. How about that? Let me go.
He twists her arm.
See what I mean?
You hurt me. I don't like to get hurt.
You know how much I shelled out on you already? $8 worth. When I spend $8 on a chick, I don't just go home with the morning paper. You understand me? So let's not have any more arguments about it.
Eve White raises her head slowly and looks around the bar as if for the first time. She has flowers woven into her curled hair. The soldier frowns.
What's the matter with you?
Her mouth moves as if she's about to speak. Slowly, she shakes her head from side to side and gradually lets it come to rest on the bar counter. The soldier looks at the bartender.
What kind of a gag is this?
Maybe she's sick.
Say, look, honey, I...
She weeps. The soldier gives up and strides off.
We missed you, Sally. Where were you?
I went up on the bus to see Barney.
I bet she was glad to see you.
Ralph appears on the porch.
Oh, Ralph?
Hi.
Eve gets up and gives her husband a kiss.
Why didn't you let me know?
I want to surprise you.
Mr. Fox, would you excuse us, please?
Certainly, ma'am.
Mr. Fox inclines his head. Eve takes Ralph indoors and up to her room.
Sit down, won't you?
As he closes the door, she takes her nylons off the bedstead where they hang drying and bundles them into a drawer.
You know why I come up here? I want you to come back with me.
Well, I can't do that, Ralph. I'm not well yet.
Who says you ain't?
Dr. Luther. I know it's true. I think it's even worse now.
Is he the one who told you to go out to the Big Apple every night?
Well, that's what I mean, Ralph. I didn't know about it.
Thought I wouldn't find out about it, huh?
I didn't know about it.
What do you mean you didn't know about it? You knew enough about it to go out there and get ginned up. You was well enough for that. The fella I know saw you out there twice. Tight as a tick and dancing, throwing your dress up. You didn't care how far.
Ralph, now, Dr. Luther explained all that to you. He even showed you. You told me so yourself.
Now, look, I don't know which one of you is fooling. You or him, but somebody is. Because you know what I've been doing? I've been asking people about it. I asked 2 doctors about it. You know what they said? They said it looked to them like somebody was kidding somebody.
Well, Ralph, it is something. Believe me, it is.
Okay, then let it be something in Jacksonville, then. Now, where are your bags? Let's get out of here. If I don't check out of that Dixie Motel by 10, they'll charge me for another 6 hours.
Ralph, I won't leave here until I'm well again. Not till I have Bonnie back with me.
Okay, we'll get Bonnie. We'll go up there and get her and take her with us.
I'm not going to be alone with her. Not till I'm well.
What do you mean you're not going to be alone with her?
Well, she tried to hurt Bonnie once before. She's scared.
Will you cut that out? I'm sick of it. I don't want to hear any more about it. You understand?
Look, Ralph, please, won't you just talk to Dr. Luther just for a few minutes?
No, I already talked to 2 regular doctors.
Then I'm not going.
Her mouth is set.
You know what you need. You need a darn good weapon. That's what you need. Knock some of that nuttiness out of you.
I'm not going, and that's all there is to it.
I suppose you'd rather stay around here and go to that Big Apple.
Not until Dr. Luther tells me I can leave.
And what if I don't want you by then?
Well, I can't help it. I'm not going to leave here, not until I'm well.
You don't want to see Bonnie again?
Not until I'm well, no.
Well, I wouldn't count on it then either if I were you. If you think I'm going to have people laughing at me, you got another thing coming. If you were really crazy, it'd be different. But not this multiplied thing. So you don't come with me now, that's all there is to it. You understand?
I can't help it, Ralph.
Okay, that's the way you want it.
He leaves. Standing before her vanity mirror, her face crumples and she puts a hand over her eyes. Then Eve looks up, and an impish smile comes over her. She winks. Eve Black stalks across the road in front of the Dixie Motel, its name lit up. She wears an elegant low-cut velvet dress and carries an evening bag. In his room, still wearing his hat, Ralph pours a whiskey. He picks up the empty water jug and goes through a curtained alcove.
Come in.
Vampish Eve Black saunters in and leans against the fridge seductively. Ralph comes back in. His eyes widen when he sees her standing there, hand on hip.
Hi.
Where'd you get that dress?
You like it?
She does a twirl, holding the skirts out.
Did you buy that yourself?
Got a lot of skirts, see?
She flops down onto the bed and settles.
I never saw that dress before.
Well, it's because you've been away. Why don't you fix me one of them drinks?
You kidding?
Well, don't you want to give me one?
Well, I never seen you take a drink before.
Honey, there are a lot of things you never seen me do before. That's no sign I don't do them. Fix me one or not?
Ralph looks down at the glass and jug in his hands, over at the fridge, then back at Eve.
Don't look like to me. You're awful glad to see me. After coming up all this way, too.
He goes to fix her a whiskey and water.
Straight.
Ralph puts down the water jug and slightly hesitantly brings her a straight whiskey, which she downs in one. He watches her puzzled.
You ain't fooling me, you know.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I know what you're trying to do.
What?
He stares at his wife in her off-the-shoulder party dress.
You're trying to make me think you're that other one.
What other one?
You know what I mean.
You mean you don't even know your own life when you see it?
You ain't Evie.
He turns away as she rolls off her stockings.
You think not?
I never seen Evie do a thing like that in my whole life before.
You don't like it?
That ain't the question.
Smiling provocatively, she settles back on the bed.
Come here. Oh, come on. Sit down. Come on, I'm not gonna bite you.
With a show of reluctance, he perches on the edge of the adjoining single bed.
Cute.
What are you up to?
Well, I'm not up to a thing. I just said you're real cute. Something wrong with that?
No, but I...
No, I didn't used to go for you. But you must be getting cuter these days, because you sure look cute to me now.
She bites her lip. He looks at her and his eyes narrow as he points.
Are you really?
Really what?
Doggone if I ever saw anything like this in my whole life.
He sits by her.
You ain't mad, are you?
He looks down and gulps a hefty swig of his whiskey.
No, I guess not.
You know what you ought to do?
Well?
I think you ought to ask me to go to Jacksonville with you.
I don't think so.
Well, you asked her.
I know, but I don't know if this is the same thing or not.
You wanted her to go with you, didn't you?
She pouts. He knocks back more whiskey and takes off his hat. Then he lunges at her.
Oh, boy, you work faster than I thought you did. You better be careful. I'm going to tell your wife on you.
What do you mean, my wife? You are my wife.
That's not what you said a few minutes ago.
At the fridge, she tips back the whiskey bottle and takes a slug.
You really want to go to Jacksonville with me?
Maybe. Only not tonight, I can't.
Why not tonight?
Because I haven't gotten in the way to Jacksonville.
Stop by the place and pick up some things.
No more tacky things. This is the only really nice dress I got. It's getting kind of old. Besides, can't go to Jacksonville with just one dress. Even if it was new.
If I buy a dress, will you go to Jacksonville with me?
Maybe, if you buy me a pretty one.
Where do you go now?
Okay. Stores ain't open now.
Don't you trust me?
Sure. I just want the dress first.
Okay. Give us a little kiss.
Does that mean you're gonna buy me something?
I told you I would, didn't I?
Okay. But just a little. Hey, is that what you call a little one?
Hey.
What?
Come here.
I think we better get started, don't you? I'll wait for you in the car. Don't take too long, though.
She winks and lets herself out. Ralph sits stunned a moment, then rushes round, grabbing his jacket, his hat and case, and following her. Night, Eve Black reclines, smiling in the front seat of Ralph's car as he drives, chewing gum. He looks over.
Won't you even sit close to me?
Uh-uh. Until you buy me something pretty.
He swallows hard. Unfolding layers of tissue paper in a box, Eve reveals a new dress with an embroidered bodice and high waistline. Holding it up against her, she walks around the room and turns, doing a couple of dance steps in her elegant strappy high heels, finally striking a pose. In her new dress, she dances close to a sailor, the Jacksonville Three play.
I never knew I could love anybody. I'm in love, I'm loving you. I never knew I could need anybody, honey, like I'm needing you.
At home, Ralph waits in the rocking chair, drumming his fingers on the armrest. Slowly, the door swings open.
Have to wait up on me.
Shut that door.
All I was doing was just dancing.
Come here. Come here.
You ain't mad, are you?
He gets up from the chair and slaps her hard across the face so she falls to the floor. He takes his hat, coat and case and goes out. From where she fell on the floor, Eve White raises her head and looks about her. She frowns and clenches her fists in their white gloves. Slowly, her face crumples into tears.
Oh, dear God.
No use trying to kid ourselves. We're losing. This woman is in worse condition today than when she walked into this office 2 years ago.
The divorce, you mean?
No, it's more than that. I don't believe the divorce actually affected her seriously. Bonnie's the only thing with her, not Ralph or marriage. And that's the discouraging part of it. The truth is, Neither Eve Black nor Mrs. White is a satisfactory solution. Neither of them is really qualified to fill the role of wife, mother, or even a responsible human being. A victory for either would be disastrous. No solution whatever. And as for memories, infancy, childhood, perhaps I should say childhoods, because she says she's been coming out since she was six. An empty, almost abnormally normal history.
Some patients are really so inconsiderate.
They are indeed. Wouldn't have hurt her to have had some sort of dreadful, shocking experience when she was little, something rather nasty she saw in the attic.
Luther goes to the intercom.
Yes?
Miss Black is here.
Miss Black?
Miss Eve Black. Tell him I'm all diked out for him.
She's all dressed up for you, very pretty, with flowers in her hair.
Miss Eve Black, in person.
Want to try hypnosis again?
You mean keep punting and wait for a fumble?
Luther dons his jacket while Day greets Eve.
How do you do, Miss Black?
Well, both docs. You going to protect him against me?
The way you look this morning, I'm not so sure he'd want me to.
Well, say, you look pretty sharp yourself, you know that?
She's your patient, Doctor. I'm much too old for that sort of thing.
Day enters his rooms.
Oh, he's pretty cute sometimes, don't you think?
He's a living doll. Will you come in?
Maybe I'd like him better than I do you.
Still chomping on a cigar, Luther follows Eve into his rooms. She removes a glove and takes a cigarette.
What's the idea of all this?
I wouldn't let her come back.
Why not?
Because something's wrong.
You think so?
Well, she tried to kill herself last night.
Luther brings over a chair while Eve lights her cigarette.
Something's wrong somewhere.
She sits, still wearing one glove. Luther comes round to face her.
How did she try to kill herself?
With a razor blade. See, she's feeling awfully low. And when I got what she had in her mind, it about scared me half to death. Because, you know, if somebody didn't stop, I'd be gone too, you know what I mean?
Go on.
Well, wasn't anybody else there but me. So when she went in the bathroom and she locked the door, look.
She takes off her remaining glove and holds out her bandaged wrist.
She made one slash and then I got out and I made her drop the blade and I got it and threw it away. It was a close call.
You think she meant it?
I know she meant it. Been me, I wouldn't have meant it. I might be trying to scare somebody or fool them or something, you know, but I wouldn't go that far, you know what I mean?
I understand.
But she was really laughing. She really was going to kill herself if I hadn't stopped her.
Well, you said there was something wrong somewhere. Did you mean something more than the effort to kill herself?
I sure did.
What?
Now I'm having blackout spells, too.
You mean lapses of time when you don't remember what's happened?
Uh-huh. And let me tell you, it scares me, too.
Mrs. White.
Of course.
Mrs. White.
Luther leans forward and takes away Eve's cigarette. He puts it out as Eve White appears.
Eve Black tells me you were very low.
Yes, I was.
Would you mind going under hypnosis again?
You say so.
All right, now relax. Completely. When I count to three, you'll be in a deep hypnotic state. You understand? All right, now. One. Your eyelids are getting heavy. Very heavy. Two. Relax.
Eve's head droops slightly.
Three.
Her head rolls forward. Luther opens his desk drawer and takes out a notepad. He selects a new page and with a pencil begins jotting. While he's absorbed in that, Eve raises her head and frowning looks over at him. She looks around the room as though she's unfamiliar with it, then back at the doctor, who's still jotting notes.
Who are you?
What do you think?
I have no idea.
He looks over briefly, then again for a longer period. She smiles at him expectantly. Frowning, he sits back in his chair and swivels it to face her more directly.
May I ask who you are?
I don't know that either.
Would you excuse me for a minute?
Certainly.
He gets to his feet and walks out of his rooms quickly, leaving her examining her bandaged wrist. Luther approaches Day.
How's your heart? Can you take another one?
You're kidding.
Come on.
As the two doctors enter Luther's rooms, Eve is looking inside her handbag.
You remember Dr. Day?
How do you do, Doctor?
How do you do?
Oh, well, then you must be Dr.
Luther.
Luther, yes, of course. I should have known.
You mean you have heard of me?
Yes, through both Eve White and Eve Black.
Not unfavorably, I trust.
On the contrary, they think very highly of you, both of them.
Are we to understand, this is a little awkward, but are we to understand that you're no longer Mrs. White?
No, I'm not.
Nor Eve Black?
No.
Then may I ask, what is your name?
I don't know.
Well, you do know Mrs. White and Miss Black, don't you?
I know them in a way. I don't think I know them very well.
Well, you know, they're,
Yes, I understand that. It's a pretty bewildering thing, too, isn't it?
I should say you were well within your rights in so describing the situation. And may I add, it seems to grow no less so with the passage of time.
Well, I wish I understood it better.
How long? As I say, it's not easy to phrase these questions without sounding like an idiot, but how long have you, been around?
I don't know. But I don't think it could have been very long.
What do you know about Mrs. White?
Oh, what about Jane?
Jane who?
Oh, I mean for my name, Jane.
Well, why Jane?
Why not?
And so now Dr. Luther had three inadequate personalities to complicate and confuse his search for one stable and complete woman, all of whom continued to live, so to speak, their own separate lives. Which would it be? The rollicking and irresponsible playgirl?
Hey, you cut that out. I don't even know your first name.
Ernie.
Ernie!
Eve runs out of a parked car at night.
The defeated wife?
Your brothers. Just a minute.
Working on a telephone switchboard.
Hill Brothers. Thank you for waiting.
What? Well, just keep your britches on, Sugarfoot. I'll get your party for you. Let me figure out which one it is. Okay, that it? What? Well, who are you? Well, honey, you're not the right one. No, get off the line, you're not... Look, I don't care who you are, blast off, Buster. Okay.
Or the pleasant young woman who had no memory. What, in short, had nature in the first place intended this woman to be?
Eve's driven home by a man in an open-topped sports car. She goes to get out.
Not yet, Janie.
What's the use, Earl?
You did say you loved me, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Well, then, is it fair to say you love me but can't marry me without telling me why not?
I just can't. I know it isn't fair. I just can't.
What is it, honey? Because I'm not going to let you get away with anything like this. This means too much to me. You've got to tell me.
Please, Earl, just don't ask me anymore, please.
Sorry, Janie, I've got to. I can't give you up without even knowing what's the matter.
All
All right, then. I'll tell you. Did you read in the newspaper about a month ago about a multiple personality case? A woman that has three personalities?
In the Chronicle?
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah, I read it. What about it?
I'm that woman.
Belle starts back.
You're the...
That's right.
But you sound all right.
Do I?
You sound fine.
Maybe I do. But not the other two.
Other two?
Sure. The two others, you know, and they're very different from me. And I don't even ever know when they're coming out.
Holy Moses.
So that's all there is to it.
Oh, no, it isn't. Yes. Not by a long shot. What I mean is, that doesn't scare me. I feel just exactly the same, exactly as I felt before. I love you. Just exactly the same. Maybe even more. Whatever it is, we can handle it together.
Earl, don't you understand? It's not you marrying me. It's me marrying anybody. I'm sick. I am mentally sick, and I cannot marry anybody ever.
His brow furrows, and he holds her tightly.
Then on the afternoon of September the 17th, 1953, Mrs. White came to the office for her regular treatment and died there.
Luther comes out of Day's consulting rooms.
How are you, Mrs. White?
I don't feel very well.
Let's go inside and talk it over, shall we?
Luther ushers dowdy, downtrodden Eve White into his rooms. She complies, and he follows her. She slumps into a seat.
You look tired.
Yes, I'm very tired. I seem to be tired all the time now.
Well, has the lively Miss Black been keeping you out late?
Yes, I guess so. Anyway, I seem to be forgetting more than ever now.
Well, that could also be Jane, you know.
Yes, I know.
What do you think of Jane?
Well, from what you've told me, I hope she'll be the one.
The one to what?
To live.
Is that what you think is going to happen? That two of you will eventually disappear?
Don't you?
Well, I have thought so at times.
Well, that's what I think. And I think it'll be Jane. At least I hope so.
Did you go up Sunday to see Bonnie?
Yes, sir.
Did you have fun with her?
I did for a while. Not for a while. Then I came back again before I left. Then, when I was saying goodbye to Bonnie, she said to me, "Don't come back that other way, Mommy. I don't like that other way."
Eve Black?
I guess when I was up there last month, she must have come out and she must have been cross with Bonnie or slapped or something. But then she said, "Come back this way, Mommy, the way you are now." So I knew that it must have been Jane that came out this time when I forgot. And she was sweet to Bonnie. But then when Papa was driving me out of the yard, I got the strangest feeling that I was never going to see her again. That this was the last time. And I wanted to jump out of that truck and go hug her. Try to explain to her and try to tell her. But I don't know. How do you explain to a little girl? How do you make her understand that her real mommy is never coming back? But another woman who just looks like her.
Why do you think you'll be one of the ones to go?
Just the way I feel, I guess. I don't really mind. Not anymore.
I'm not fit for her now. Not fit for anything, really. I know that. But if it's Jane, if she'll just understand how much a little girl needs love and understanding, then I won't mind dying. You know, if she'll just take good care of her for me.
May I speak to Jane now, please?
Yes, sir.
Jane?
Eve White closes her eyes and gradually straightens up as Jane, acknowledging Luther with a smile.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It was me that came out on Sunday. And while I was there, a curious thing happened that I think you might be interested in.
What was that?
Well, it was this.
In flashback.
Bonnie and her mother were out in the backyard. They were playing ball, you know, bouncing a ball back and forth. Now you ready? All right. Here it comes. Very good.
Do it again, Mommy.
The curly-haired little girl waits for the ball.
Okay, here we go.
But it rolls past her.
Uh-oh.
Look, it's under the house.
That's all right, honey, I get it.
Eve walks over to the base of the clapboard house, which is supported on brick columns. As she faces the house walls, she straightens up, looks down at Bonnie, and smiles.
You wait here, darling. Mother'll get it for you.
They both crawl partway underneath, and Bonnie waits while Eve goes on.
Can you see it?
Eve crawls on the soil under the house through the shadows, pausing to look around her. Her blonde hair is tied back neatly in a ponytail. Bonnie looks curiously after her.
Then when I got under there, a strange thing happened.
She stares straight ahead, apparently in a trance.
Suddenly, I was littler. I was a little girl under the house. I could smell the odor of fresh earth, like a long time ago, and morning glories, though there are no morning glories growing around there now.
Luther gets up and puts his hands in his pockets.
And you still can't remember anything at all about your childhood?
No, not even of being a child.
You think Eve White might be able to remember something about it?
I have no idea.
May I speak with her, please?
Of course.
Mrs. White?
He walks over to his bookcases.
Jane tells me that when she came out up there on Sunday, when you were playing catch with Bonnie, the ball rolled under the house and she went under after it. And when she got under there, she had a feeling of being very small. A child. Very curious and somehow frightening feeling, as if she'd been there before. Now, this had some meaning for her. Can you remember, when you were very little, any experience like that of any kind?
No, sir.
When you think back to when you were, say, 5 or 6 or 7 years old, something like that.
No, sir, I can't remember anything like that under the house.
Perhaps under hypnosis. Would you mind?
No, sir, I don't mind.
All right, then will you close your eyes, please? Relax. One. Two. Three.
Her head droops over and lolls.
Now, I want you to think back to when you were 5 years old. Just a little girl on the farm. Very little girl, playing around the house in the backyard. Sometimes you play under the house, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Did you ever go under the house for a ball?
I don't remember.
Was it dark under the house?
Yes, sir, very dark.
Did it scare you?
No, sir.
All right, now you're six. 6 years old. Still playing around the house. In the backyard.
A slight frown passes over Eve's features.
You still go into the house sometimes?
Yes.
Now, can you remember one particular time when something happened to you when you were under there? Did a ball go into the house?
A cup. Forrest, give me my blue china cup. My cup. I want to. I don't like all those flowers. Please, I don't want to. Oh, please, I don't want to. There's too many people. Please. Mama, don't make me. Mama, please help me!
Eve shocks herself out of it, passes a hand over her face, and then she stares at Luther. She wipes the tears off her cheek.
Mrs. White?
What were you doing to her?
Eve?
Of course, what are you trying to get at?
I'll tell you what I'm trying to get at. I'm interested in something that Jane told me about being under the house, your mother's house, probably when you were about 6 years old. It upset Mrs. White very much. Can you remember what it was?
No, I didn't pay much attention to anything those days.
You came out then, didn't you?
Yeah. Only when I wanted to do something she didn't want to do. Didn't she ever tell you about all those lickings she got for things she didn't do?
What are you doing out here now? I didn't call you.
Eve pulls herself up in the chair.
Well, no. I just had to, I guess.
Do you remember anything about a blue china cup?
I don't remember anything about anything like that. I told you. How long is this going to go on?
Until we find out what's the trouble, of course.
How long do you think that's going to be?
I have no idea.
You know what I think?
What?
I think I'm not having much fun anymore.
You're still getting out, aren't you?
Not like I used to. Is it Jane that's doing that to me?
Luther sits in an armchair.
I don't know. What do you think?
I wish I knew more about her.
What do you want to know about her?
I don't know. It's not like it used to be when I knew all about Eve White and she didn't know anything about me and there wasn't anybody else. That's the way I liked it. It's all changed now, hadn't it?
Mm-hmm. Now there's Jane.
Yeah.
Suddenly she leans forward toward Luther.
Do you like her?
Very much.
Won't you do me?
No, I don't like anybody more than I do you, really.
You never would go out and have a good time with me, would you?
A psychiatrist can't go out with a patient. That's against the rules.
Would you go out with me if you weren't a doctor?
She grins flirtatiously.
Anytime you'd let me.
Her face suddenly becomes serious, and she sits back.
She know all about what I do. She tell you?
When I ask her.
Like about that sergeant?
Yeah, she told me about that.
Hey, see, that's what I mean, having somebody around all the time telling on you.
You tell me about Mrs. White, don't you?
Yeah, but she don't do anything.
Luther pinches the bridge of his nose.
You know something, Dad?
What?
You remember that red dress? The low-cut one?
How could I forget it?
I want you to have it.
Low-cut dress for me?
I want you to have it if anything happens.
What do you mean, if anything happens?
Something's the matter. I don't know what it is, but something's the matter. You don't think we're ever gonna get well, do you?
Of course I do.
Well, I don't.
I think we're going to die, all of us.
She's tearful.
Me?
Her bottom lip quivers.
I didn't think I could cry, did you?
Never have before.
You know, I remember the first time I ever saw you. You was the first one I ever said who I was. First one ever knew me. You liked that red dress, didn't you?
Very much indeed. I think it's a beautiful dress.
Well, I want you to have it. Because you're the only one that knows what it's meant to me. The only one.
I know of nothing that's going to happen to you. But I do appreciate the dress, believe me. Now may I speak to Jane?
Of course.
Jane?
Goodbye, Doc.
Goodbye, Eve.
Her eyes close, and as they reopen, her posture straightens up gradually.
Jane?
Yes?
What do you think she meant?
I don't know.
Have you remembered about that blue china cup or under the house?
No.
Mrs. White?
No!
She trembles in her chair. She leaps to her feet and Luther restrains her.
What happened, Jane? Under the house!
She made me kiss her! She made me kiss her! Mama, please!
In flashback, two girls play under the house.
I'll beat you!
Evie? Come on, sugar, time to get your clothes on.
I'll be there in a minute, Mama.
Come on, Evie. Now, I don't want to come in there after you. You come on this minute. You hear?
The child Evie crawls out with her china cup towards her formally dressed mother.
You get to kiss Grandma goodbye. Then you won't miss her so much if you kiss her goodbye, sugar pie. You know that.
Little Evie wears a pretty dress with shiny shoes.
Please don't make me. I don't want to go, Papa.
Evie, now you do like your mommy says.
Come on now, you give it to me.
You got to, honey.
Now, baby, I know, sugar. All you got to do is kiss
don't
her.
Don't make me, please.
Then you won't miss her so much.
Mama, I don't want
to. Now, you got to kiss her goodbye when you miss her so much.
A crowd of mourners observe the child being lowered to kiss her dead grandmother in her coffin. In the present.
She didn't mean any wrong by it. It's just the way people thought in those days. But if you kissed the dead face, it was a sweet goodbye and you wouldn't miss her so much. That's all she meant.
Do you think a great deal about death now?
No. Just that life's a city full of straying streets, and death's the marketplace where each one meets. Just that. Someday it'll happen.
Who wrote that poem?
Shakespeare, wasn't it?
Where did you learn it?
In high school. Mr. Montgomery recited it to us one day.
Who was Mr. Montgomery?
English teacher.
She leans her head wistfully against the window frame. Luther gets up thoughtfully.
Who was your first teacher? The very first, when you first started going to school.
I was in Fortsville. Miss Bates.
In second grade?
Her face begins to animate.
Miss Bates in the first grade? Miss Griffith in the second grade. Miss Stewart in the third grade.
And then we moved to Richmond and we had Miss Patterson in the fourth grade.
Do you remember all of them?
May I say them?
Go on.
And in Richmond, we lived on Fifth Street. 237 Fifth Street, right next door to the Thompsons. Rick and Mary Lou Thompson. And Mr. Thompson, he worked at the railroad in the machine shop, because I remember one Sunday he took us all down to look at the machines. Rick and Mary Lou and Florence and myself. Florence is my cousin. I remember.
May I speak to Mrs. White?
Do you have to?
Mrs. White?
Her confident persona withdraws slowly and her facial expressions become less certain.
She's gone.
Eve?
They're gone.
Eve Black?
They're gone, I tell you, both of them. They're gone and there's nobody else here but me. I know it. I can feel it.
She touches her face.
And I can remember. I can remember everything. Mama and Papa and Bonnie. I can remember. Oh, I can remember. I can remember.
That was in the fall of 1953. On September the 17th, 1955, Dr. Luther received a special delivery airmail letter from Richmond, Virginia.
He hands it to Dr. Day and sits on the corner of his desk while his colleague reads.
Dear Dr. Luther, do you remember what today is? It's the second anniversary of that day in your office. And still no more Eve White and no more Eve Black. That's why we decided it was safe at last to have Bonnie with us. And so here we all are, Earl and Bonnie and me, going home together.
The End, a CinemaScope picture produced and released by 20th Century Fox Film Corporation. ITFC audio description.